So I heard this teaching from 10 years ago, and it blessed me so much that I just had to share it. So I asked Sid, well, I'd like to teach on his birthday, if it falls on a Sunday. So here we go. I'm going to teach on living the love of God. So LaDonna, can you scoot over a little bit? I see half of your head. There you go. Before we can learn how to love one another, we have to learn how to love God. And how do we know? God is through his word. And we see the great love he has for us. And in response, we learn how to love him. And then we learn to love ourselves. You can't love somebody else if you don't love yourself. And seeing who we are in Christ, we are God's children with Christ within us. And that's who we are. And we need to love that about ourselves. We need to see the greatness of what God's created in us. And then we need to love one another. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Now in Romans 5:5, it says that we receive the love of God when we're born again. Okay, it says that when we're born again, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we have the ability to love with God's love, with that beautiful love of God. But the love of God in renewed mind and manifestation is how we're to love. And so, because do we always feel like loving? No. It's a decision that we make. And, sometimes we just, you want to love, but you just don't. You decide not to. And we're going to look at a relationship between Jesus Christ and Judas. And we're going to see how he loved him. And we know what Judas did, how he betrayed him, but how Jesus Christ just loved him regardless. Okay, in John 15, I'm not there yet. Sorry. Okay, in verse 9 it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Jesus Christ knew his Father's love. He was sure and he was confident of his love. And he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I loved you with that love. Continue ye in my love. Look at my example of love and follow it. You continue in this love. And down in verse 17, it says, these things I command you, that you love one another. With that love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation. And it takes a decision to love. And Jesus Christ had to decide to love Judas. Let's look at John chapter 12. Now, this is 6 days before the crucifixion, before Jesus Christ is going to go through all that torture, all that he went through. So you picture this scene. Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, picture this scene. He's with his friends. He had many disciples, but it says that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were his friends. So here he is. He knows what's ahead of him. I mean, he knew the Old Testament. He knew Isaiah. He knew that he was going to be beaten beyond recognition. So he was a man. It wasn't like he was some kind of robot. Yes, Father. He had feelings. He had emotions. And here he is, and they're just loving him up. They're just loving him. They give him a meal. And then Mary does this beautiful act that says she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, she got this ointment and she put it on his feet, right? And then a woman's hair was her glory. She wiped his feet with her hair, which showed the greatest love, you know, and respect for Jesus. You know, she just loved him so much and she just wanted to show him that love. And she took something costly and she put it on his feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. I mean, they just wanted this particular time just to love him and care for his heart. Now look what happens next. Verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? What? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So here Judas was the bag man. He was the one that kept the money for the disciples. So he was a thief. This was more money he was going to get. And he was pissed that he wasn't going to get more money. And so, I mean, you look at this scene. I mean, here, Mary just wanted to do this beautiful thing for him. And then, bam, you know, he gets criticized. She gets criticized. You know, so look at his response. Verse 6, then he said, verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. He took care of her heart right away. He did not let Judas crush her. He took care of her heart right away. Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Now, he had an opportunity here to just really slam Judas. How could you? How could you? She was trying to do something sweet for me, and he just loved him. He just loved Judas. You know why? He wanted to give him an opportunity to have a change of heart. And you see, how would you be in this situation? How would you respond? You know, especially because he hurt Mary. But he didn't. What a great example of living love. All right, and, you know, the feet were the most despised part of the body, you know, and you think about how she thought of Jesus Christ and how she loved him and how Jesus was like, you know what, I'm not going to let, even though he's a brother, I'm not going to let him hurt you. You know, so not only he didn't respond with, I can't believe, he, you know, didn't slam him. He just loved him. Because that's the only way people are ever going to change is if we love him into loving. Okay, so his response was an incredible slap in the face to her. She just wanted to bless him and love him. And, you know, in criticizing her, he also criticized Jesus Christ, right? How could you allow that? How could you? Hey, there's poor people, you know. And sometimes when you do the right thing, you will get criticized. But you know what? We live love regardless. He was conformed to the world, Judas was. He cared more about himself and what he wanted than what was right. Jesus Christ reproves and corrects him with the love of God. He did it God's way, you know, and there can be no genuine love of God without freedom of will. And Judas had freedom of will. That's one of the greatest things God gave us, because he could have, you know, made us to just like, we love you, Father, but he didn't. He wants us to choose. He wants us to choose to love him, to love, you know, with that love of God, one another. See? We have to choose to love as Christ loved. And you know what? We have the ability. And Jesus Christ said that we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, you know, to decide, even when it's not convenient, to love. Because we love people into changing. In Romans, we won't turn there, but Romans 2:4, it says that the love of God leadeth a man to repentance. We were won by God's love, and we're only going to win others by that love of God. And the goodness is loving, actively loving in spite of ingratitude. In spite of ingratitude, people aren't, you know, we're not always like, oh, you know, great job, blah, blah, blah. You know, loving in spite of ingratitude. He loved Judas regardless of how he was and being so selfish, he loved him anyway. And that's how we're to love one another. Goodness is the opposite of being hard or bitter or unforgiving. And how are we like that? You know, wow, but you don't know what so-and-so did to me. You know, it's loving in spite of ingratitude. And we don't want to have that bitterness in our hearts against anybody because it only eats us alive. Only the genuine love of God causes people to change. Okay, but Judas made a choice, right? He made a wrong choice here. So let's see how Jesus Christ continued to love him. So we're going to look in Matthew chapter 26. And now this is 3 days before the crucifixion. In verse 6 it says, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, everybody there? Okay. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. So here we have another woman. This is another scene, another house. And this woman gets this ointment. This ointment was so costly, it would be like a year's salary. Like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. It would be like her dowry. It was all she had. She gets this ointment and she puts it on his head and anoints his head. You know, what an act of love. And so think about the price that she put on him, you know, how costly, everything she had, because she wanted to just give everything she had with her whole heart to him. Let's see what happens next. Verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. They were annoyed, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. What? Didn't they just hear what happened over there? You know, and who else is here? Judas. He hears it again. He hears it again. Another opportunity for Judas to have a change of heart. When Jesus understood it, he said, why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work unto me. For you have the poor always with you, but me have you not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. So look, we're reading this today. Doesn't even name her. Doesn't even say who she was. You know, but look, we're reading it. So you think, how highly did God think of this? Then in verse 14, it says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they, I can't say this word. Say it for me. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I practice. I can't say. With him for 30 pieces of silver. Now, 30 pieces of silver was the lowest price that you would pay for like an injured slave. So how did he value his life? How did that woman value his life? Right? Look at the contrast. But you know what? Jesus Christ loved Judas just as much as he loved that woman. You know, we don't decide who we're going to love. We don't get to choose. We're commanded to love. And we don't get to decide. Okay, there's this woman at the bank, Gloria. And she's new and she's stone-faced like, You know, and when she looks up, which she rarely looks up, you know, it's like, you know, and they have to say, "Hi, how are you today?" You know, you know, they got to say it three times, I've learned. So if you go to the bank and they don't say your name three times, then something's wrong. But anyway, so I have this best buddy at the bank, Ben. I love Ben, and everything. We have a good old time when we go. And so a couple weeks ago when I went, Gloria waited on me. But Ben and I were having a party. You know, he's got a new home he's moving into, and we're laughing and having a good time. And, you know, she was waiting on me. I didn't even acknowledge her. You know, so anyway, I was driving home, and I was thinking about this, and I thought, who are you to choose? How do you know why she doesn't smile? What, you know, you don't know why she's like that. She deserves that same love and that same friendliness. How are you ever going to win anybody if we don't love people? So the next week when I went to the bank, Ben was there, and I told him. I said, you know, I've been so wrong. I said, you know that girl, Gloria, next to you? I said, she's just a stone face. I said, I never even acknowledge her. I said, it's so wrong. I said, that's not the love of God. And I said, so when next time I see her, he goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to love her up like I do you. And he goes, oh, good luck with that. Well, just a couple minutes later, who walks behind the counter but Gloria? I sing that to her. I do now sing that to her. But anyway, she walks in and her back was to me. I went, Gloria, hi, how are you today? She turned around and her countenance, I can't tell you, she was beaming. She just got this huge smile. She went, hi, Stella. I thought, she knows my name. This poor girl that I've like ignored and like, you know, I'm not talking to you because you're miserable. Her whole countenance changed. And I thought, what a great example to Ben. And I didn't do it like, oh, Ben, watch this. I just truly wanted to love her and how God just put that together so I could be an example of God's love. See, because you know what? Some people are just hard to love. Was Judas hard to love? I think so. But that's why Jesus Christ said, continue ye in my love. Okay, let's see. Okay, because love is a decision and we can't be swayed by what others do or don't do. All right. Let's continue on. Verse 17. Am I going to do that? Wait, hold on. Nope, we're going to go to John chapter 13. Sid, was that a sigh? Oh. I don't know. I just kind of thought I heard a little sigh back there. Like, oh, wait. Did she get... But you know, the point of this, too, is Jesus Christ never quit on Judas. He never quit on him. You know, he just fought for him. And wanted he? You think you know how he ended up? And he gave him every opportunity to have a change of heart. John chapter 13 verse 1 it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of the world. Wait, hold on 1 second. Yes, that's right. Unto the Father, having loved his own which were with him in the world, he loved them until the end. And supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And you talk about an act of love. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And that job of doing washing the feet was the job of the lowest servant. And Jesus Christ got down on his knees and he washed their feet. Now you think about, I mean, feet are so ugly, I think, you know, and you think they wore sandals, like, you know, those feet were pretty gross, you know, nobody has pretty feet except Janet Donovan. Janet Donovan, she has really pretty feet. No, everybody else's are ugly. But anyway, but here he is. He gets down and he washes their feet. Now, so he's washing their feet. He's washing their feet. Do you think that maybe he made eye contact with Judas as he's washing feet? So what does he do? Does he stick his nail, like, you know, gives him an extra jab or washes him really hard, like, I'm going to show you. No. You think about, he goes down the line. He loved Judas with that same love of God as he did the other ones. There was no partiality, no favoritism. There can't be favoritism in the body of Christ. There can't be. See, we're called to love one another. We're called to take care of one another, to pray for one another. How wonderful it is that we get to fight for people in prayer. And, oh, man, it's not always convenient. It's not always doing what you want to do, you know, because we don't always want to do things, you know, but what's our motivation? We got the ability, but we have to decide. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, You know, if I don't, you have no part with me. And he said, Okay, do the whole thing then. You know, because in their culture, it wasn't the master that would do this. It was the lowest servant, and it was against culture. See, and sometimes we're going to go against the rules in society. You know, we're going to love and people are going to think, wow, what? But he didn't care. Jesus Christ wanted to be an example. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. But ye are clean, but not all. He knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. So he knew what Judas was going to do. And yet he still loved him, trying again to win his heart, you know, by this beautiful act. He did it to all of them. But Judas, it just blows me away. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you do well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. When you love and you serve and you give in the body of Christ, you're going to be happy. The happiest people are people who give and serve out of a loving heart. You know, Jesus Christ didn't love Judas because he was supposed to. He did it because he had God's love. And we have God's love. And we have the ability to extend ourselves, to get out of our comfort zone. Maybe things aren't easy for you. Diane doesn't like camping. Diane comes to camp. You know what I mean? She got out of her comfort zone. Really, she never liked it. You know? It's like there's things we got to do. Not we got to do, but we should really look at our lives and our hearts and see what our motivation is and why we do things. See, what a great example Jesus Christ was about that, right? Agape love, this is so cool, is relentless devotion. Relentless. Never give up on one another. Relentless. When he got down there and he washed those feet, he showed that, didn't he? He showed that love of God. This is the last time they were together, and he gives them this powerful demonstration showing them God's love. He showed them genuine humility, genuine love, and genuine service. in 1 Corinthians, it talks about, you know, that the love of God is not puffed up, doesn't seek her own. Jesus Christ didn't care about himself. You know, when Judas criticized him, you know, he cared more about Mary's heart than his own. You know, it seeketh not her own. It's not puffed up. It's not all about you. It's about God or me. I don't mean to say, you know, it's you and not me. You know, but I've really been thinking about this and really trying to think about what God was trying to communicate through Jesus Christ here. You know, how to love with that love. All right, let's see. All right, so we're going to continue. We're going to go down to verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And that troubled in spirit was his mind was stirred up with multiple conflicting emotions. Multiple. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, he's going to betray me. He's one of mine. One of my own is going to betray me. You know, he wasn't a robot. Remember, he had feelings and a heart. And he's like, what? What is he going to, you know, I can't believe he could do this. But he controlled his thinking so that he could love like God loved. We can't wait until we feel like it or when we feel the person deserves it. We have to let the love of God win over those emotions. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, which we believe was Lazarus, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Wow. Okay, now the sop was, it was like a piece of bread, and they would break off a piece. There was a common bowl, and they would dip it and get a piece of meat and put it in the mouth of the most respected, the most loved, the most honored person at the table. Who's he give it to? Judas. What? What? That's got to give you chills. You know, of all the people at that table, you think he would give it to Lazarus because, you know, or the disciple whom he loved, you know, who was leaning on him. And, you know, and then the way the tables were set up, it was the people who were the closest to the host, the one, you know, the most honored guest would sit the closest to him. So it doesn't say he got up and he gave the sop. So he had to be close by. He had to be close to him at that table, and he gave the sop to Judas. Oh, my goodness. You talk about the love of God. Because, again, he wants him to have a change of heart. He wants him to see that love of God. Judas, you don't have to do this. Because you know what? His life wasn't taken. Jesus Christ's life wasn't taken. He had, what, 12,000 legions of angels? I mean, they didn't take him. Jesus Christ gave his life. So it wasn't like God needed Judas, you know. God wanted Judas to have a change of heart as well, you know, but he had free will to choose. Okay. And you know, you think about, you know, after Jesus Christ was raised, Judas still had the opportunity. He was invited to have eternal life, to get born again. And we know that Judas, he couldn't accept God's love. He couldn't get away from that condemnation, and he hung himself, you know. But he was loved to the very end, and till the end that even he was invited to have eternal life, even though he betrayed Jesus Christ, even though it was that kiss of death. That's where that expression comes from. When Judas kissed him, it was the kiss of death. You know, he just gave him over. And Jesus Christ loved him anyway. And that's what love does. It just goes beyond. It just loves and loves and loves and loves and loves. And when, you know, when the disciples found out, you know, that Judas had done this, do you think they thought, you know, how come he allowed that, you know? What an example it was to them once they looked back and thought about the feet and the sop and, wow, you know, what a great example he was to them. And another thing that 1 Corinthians 13 is on the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation. What a great, great chapter on the love of God. And I just wanted to, okay, I lost it. I know. It bears all things. Is one of the things. And that's a covering over in silence. That when something happens, like it doesn't talk about Jesus Christ going around telling everybody, you know what Judas did? You know what he did here? You know what he did there? You know, and he betrayed me. And when he got raised from the dead, did he go to Judas and say, I can't believe you did that to me? There's no record of Jesus talking about any of that. He loved them till the end. And that's how we're to love one another with that love of God. And I want to close in. Oh, where is it? Okay, because I skipped a little bit. Here he is, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't think I've read half of my notes. That's okay. No, it can't be 2 Corinthians 15. It must be 1st. Did I? 2 Corinthians 5? Okay. Thank you. I went to 15. Verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And we know, you know, that constrain is like, you ask somebody three times, you ask them to dinner, they say no. Constraining is, you know, then by the third time they know you really mean it. Okay, I'll come. So it's the love of Christ that constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. See, we've got a great calling. We've been called to the body of Christ, and we have that love of God inside us, which enables us to love the unlovable, to love to the end, and to give with everything in our hearts. So that's it.